Good morning, my people. Good morning, my people. It is another episode of Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let me get close to the scene. Got a lot going on in my life, and just want to thank God for being the head of my life. Come on, somebody. Speak to me, and I'll speak back. Talk to me, and I'll talk back. Anyway, today, it's open session again because I think the forum is good when it's an open session, right? Where you can speak on what you want to speak on, not just a certain topic, because we have so much going on in our neighborhoods. And so without further ado, I want to just say God bless everyone. Allow God to be the head of your life, to lead your life and direct your life, and you should be all right, right? And so without further ado, I'm going to go to the phone line and allow all of our brethren in. It's going to be a beautiful day of radio this Friday. So, again, the number, 515-605-9861 is the call-in number. And I will be letting Mark in, Brother Marvell in, and I'm doing a whole bunch. But, hey, brothers, what's going on?
Grand Rising King.
So
I know you out there enjoying the day.
Oh yeah, man. I gotta live life, man, because tomorrow ain't promised, man, and I ain't on nobody's schedule but God's schedule. And when it go down, it go down, man. And I'm gonna let you know. Hey, he gave me breath today to enjoy today. You know, everything ain't easy, but you know, if you put in first, you'll be blessed. Anyway, what's going on?
Sir.
Y'all handling the business, man.
Yes, sir, man. Having a good day today. Woke up this morning, and I learned not to take 1 second on this planet for granted. I'm going to learn to enjoy the moment and respect all that's given unto me with gratitude. So on you, Marvell.
Well, I'm just, gratitude is something that escapes me sometimes, but it's the one size fit all when I'm looking at stuff that I don't like to see or have to do something I don't want to do. I just have to remember there was a time when I wish that was my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever was in before me now. And then it brings me back home to like, look, dude, you would do well to just recognize that you should appreciate just being available. I did a lot of things that a lot of people didn't get away with doing. So,
right. Come on.
So that gratitude thing is really a powerful force when I pick it up. Sometimes I don't pick it up in time, and then I get it all caught up. But now I'm feeling it, and I'm grateful, especially being around brothers that I know in their hearts they want something different for people that they're around and the people that we're akin to and the situations that we're in as a culture of people. We want something different. We want something better. And I hope that's translating to the people that are listening. Because the question that comes to my mind often, and I even ask the kids when we do stuff at the after-school program, I just asked them simply, why do you think we're doing this? Why do you think we're here? And the kids will say, well, teach us about how not to use drugs. You want to teach us about how to do the right thing. You want to teach us or show or tell us about how not to do the things and make the mistakes that you made. And then one kid said, you're here to teach us how to be men, right? So I'm going to ask to the general population that's listening, you know, if they want to call in and share, why do they think or you think that we're doing what we're doing? Why?
Well, one thing I want to add to that, I like to try to teach them how to live without regret. That's one of the most important things that children and adults can learn how to do. is how to live without regret. Because we do so much in a day that we don't think about the throwback we may catch from it tomorrow. So we have to pay attention to what we're doing today so that we won't have no regrets tomorrow. And so that all starts our love and respect. And once we teach them how to love and respect themselves, they'll be more apt to throw that love and respect out to others. And I really do hope some other callers would chime in, because we need to hear from y'all, you know, because we have a lot to say, believe me. And I'm one that won't shut up, and I know Marvell can't shut up, and Tim going to shut us up. But please call in. We need to hear from you.
Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, no. I heard air time that was dry, so I'm going to fill it in. And so I was thinking, you know, last night we had some kids that came into the game night with families, right? And wasn't a whole bunch of them, but it was enough to have a good session with them on asking them, what do they need to succeed in this life? What do you need? And they had a young man in there who was real smart. He said, all I need is my people to get theyself together while I get myself together, and I think things will be all right. Man, it was so simple. I said, whoo. And this guy was 15 years old. All I need is my people to get themselves together as I get myself together, and then we should be able to move forward in love and do build and find economics in our community and all of that. Hey, man, the young man, and I told him his brother was coming to the youth healing circle, but he stopped coming. And so I ask that any parent that's listening right now, get your youth involved. If you don't get them involved in Hooked on Fishing, get them involved in Heal and Rebuild. That's Brother Brandon Clay's a nonprofit. There's All Out Ball Out Academy. There's the UGA, United and Guided. There's it's a whole bunch of men out here doing the work, but we don't know about them because we spread more gossip than we spread the good news. With that being said, let that sit there and marinate.
I say.
So how do we? Would it be upon us to create a directory of some sort, or do we just continue to broadcast these organizations? Because a couple of them you mentioned, I've never heard of.
They have a directory. They have a directory. Everyone sent in their names a year ago, but where's the directory at? How do we find it?
Right.
I remember when we were saying, come together and come to this meeting. We're going to put everybody on so everybody know what we're doing and we can support one another. And the joker that did that, that made the directory, kept the directory for themselves so they can utilize it for themselves, because I haven't seen it nowhere yet. They ain't sent me a copy. I ain't going to go there. But, yeah, maybe we need to put a directory out so that everybody can come aboard, man, and know what we're doing, man.
I think. You know, because as things come up and we see that there's a challenge, if we don't get people calling in, or if we don't get people pouring in, then maybe we need to we would be the ones who set the example or put it in motion, at least, so that there's an opportunity to take advantage of these places. Because that's the first I heard about some of those organizations, and they sound like they're like mine, so we would do well to even contact them and find out how we can help them in what they're doing.
I agree with that. But the thing about that is, I'm gonna speak for myself. I can't speak for nobody else. I'm so busy with my business, I ain't got time for nobody else's business unless we collaborate, because I got too much going on to step outside and shut down what I'm doing to get somebody else. And I grow, and for people that's doing the work like we're doing, they're going to say the same thing, because Ball Out Academy, he going to tell you, he say, man, one gone, I need you to DJ for us on this night. Okay, I'll come, and then we won't be in collaboration. That'll be a job for me. That ain't Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence collaborating. So what his father said, Kenneth Sr., he said, we need to do more collaborating with you, Wungone. You got the fishing program. We got the basketball program. But the thing is, we out here and you over there. And so we're going to mentor over here. And when we need your program, we'll call your program. When you need our program, call our program. But we are too busy to stop what we're doing with the kids that we're working with all week long to go join somebody that ain't doing half the stuff and that we do, and will cause us to be stagnant. And I understood that. And that was many years he told me that. And so sometimes it's okay to collaborate, but when one is asking you to collaborate just so they can get numbers, or one is wanting to collaborate because you got all the kids, or if one wants you to collaborate because there's a hidden agenda, people got burnt out of that. So what I've done, I used to just have a fishing program, right? Just a fishing program with a healing circle twice a night. But I said, that ain't enough. That ain't enough, and I see where I can do more. So I asked a few brothers, hey, man, I'm finna start doing this. Y'all want to come in? And these brothers had their own nonprofit, but they didn't want to join in because if they don't make up the idea, then they don't want to be involved. It got to be their idea. It got to run the way they want it to run, or they ain't going to be committed to it. And so after so many people using you out in these nonprofit, in this nonprofit world, you tend to say, let God lead me, and I'm going to do God's work. And if God put these people in my life, so be it. We'll work together. But I ain't going out searching for nobody no more, man. I've been 10 years. Been having on my high heels for 10 years for people like that. 10 years. And I could name them, and I could show you where we done did the work, and we ain't collaborating no more because they got the money and ran with the check. I'm out of here with that.
Well, I'm going to say this, because I understand where you're coming from, Tim. I've seen it with my own eyes. What we need to do is, I'm not saying collaborate with these other nonprofits, because it's about the kids. What we need to do is send out some hand deals, you know, flyers like we do for anything else, and post it in these communities so where we can have an annual gathering in a mutual meeting place where we can get these kids together and show them how we can come together. Because like I said, it's just like the churches. Everything that we talk about reflects back on what's really going on. Division. Division. It's all about my four and no more. And like you said, if it ain't my idea, it ain't going to float in my boat. We got to get beyond that. We got to get beyond that, because when we really get down to the crux of the matter, it leads back to, what would Jesus do? How do you guys think God feels about all this? And if we're striving to be followers of God, Christ, Jehovah, whoever it is that you deem to be your spiritual all that, we got to think like him. We have to get out of self and forget about everything else and do what needs to be done, because if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. And I'm, like I said, I'm really ready to pull up my boots and do what needs to be done. I know you got a lot on your plate, Brother Tim. That's why we got us other men. And it ain't about one trying to go around and reach all. Just one get out there and reach some. And then those some that we reach, we bring them together. Because it can be done. It ain't going to happen overnight. But if we can get one group to meet annually or every 90 days or something like that, then we'll get another one. Like I said, it's a gradual process. But we got to keep that desire. That's what we have to maintain, is that desire, because if we listen to others, we'll begin to lose that desire. And then before you know it, that flame will die out. And here's another thing I want to put on the minds of anybody listening out there. If someone like Tim that's doing what he's doing, what if he's no longer able to do what he do? Who's going to pick up that? Who's going to carry on? Who's going to carry the torch from there? See, we all have to be like-minded and be ready, willing, and available to do what needs to be done. Because a whole lot of us just sit at home doing nothing and say, oh, I could have did that. I could have did this. Stop with the coulda, wouldas, and let's do. And now I'm going to end on that one.
I was sitting in thought about what, because I'm aware of what Tim's experience has been, and I'm just very, I have a regret that a source or a resource can be taken for granted to the point to where it's now to be selective about who you deal with, and making that selection is a challenge. I understand that part. What I would like to think is that while we have an audience of people, that there is someone who has the gift and the skill to be like, remember back in the day they used to have, you make a phone call and they have somebody with earphones on and they taking one plug out and putting it in another and making these connections, the switchboard operator.
Yeah.
I would like to think that there's someone who may be a retired person or a person who's in the field now that has the time to have the willingness to be that conduit, to be that person that makes calls, network organizations, and be sort of like a hub for the information that's available, and they don't be non-partial. It's just they have the skill of being able to connect people and to get people familiar with each other. It just crossed my mind that there is probably someone in our listening audience who has that skill. And if so, I would like to invite them to pour into what we're doing, because we're kind of scattered. We're kind of apprehensive. Some of us get burnt out on some things. We're still strong and passionate about one aspect, but we're kind of jaded and tainted about another aspect, because, you know, we have feelings, and sometimes our feelings are not factored with behaviors and how they treat us in our situation. So hopefully we'll get someone who has these skills, that has the time and availability to call in, pour in, and be a part of what we're doing and help us get the structure that we really deserve to have. That's what we're really, our outcry is help us put together this structure that allows us to smoothly go from one project to the other and be able to do it together.
Wow. That's beautiful, Marvell. And so we have a listener. This is our first lady listener that would, you know, answer back. So, Miss Beverly, I want to give you a shout out, because most of our women folks that come on here, they just want to listen. And I just want you to give a shout out to someone right quick, Miss Beverly. How are you this morning?
I am well. Thank you for asking me. I'm finding the conversation very interesting. I don't know how much I can say at this point. However, I had an idea as I was listening to a couple of the young men, and it seemed to be possibly a solution to most of what's going on that I'm hearing.
Okay, and I would like you to elaborate on that. Give us some insight on what your ideas or your suggestions may be.
Thank you. The first and the one foremost is a foundation. There must be a foundation that all of you stand on, number one. Foundations are critical in that the government, the country, the cities, a plan to build a home is posed. And there's no foundation you cannot build legally. So I heard two gentlemen talk about God, and that's the beginning, in my opinion, of your foundation. There were 12 disciples and others who went out. They did go out separate ways. They did have their own jobs, if you will, to do, to perform. But what they had before they went out was this foundation where they all understood it's not about me. We have to have a head. This thing is way too big for a man or a woman who, in many cases, it's difficult for us to, this is my idea. And so I heard one of the gentlemen say, I want it done this way. Well, what has to happen is, someone said, what would Jesus do? That's a valid question, because you have to rely on, you have flashlight vision. You have great ideas, but your vision is only flashlight. And if you think about a flashlight, the only way, where the only things you can see is that which is directly before you. You cannot see what's to the right, to the left, and behind. Well, there's one with a panoramic view who invites us, if we lack wisdom, to come to him. But we have to be in agreement that this is going to be the head. So also, if prayer becomes a part of it and there are differences, he will speak to these individuals, and the thing, he will give you the wisdom you will need to go forth. It's a huge task you're talking about conquering. So it will not be done, in my opinion, ever, and not just that, anything nowadays, especially with so many directions to be torn in, so many feelings to take into consideration for whatever reason. If that foundation is not laid and you come together first and say, I believe, and because we believe, we are only instruments, but we do have a head first. Let's deny self, number one. And then when we get self out the way, let's ask, let's pray for wisdom, and then let's move ahead. And I'm just saying, maybe that if you try that first, even now, maybe something, if not everything, will change. Thank you. And I wish the best for you all.
Wow. Thank you very much. You said, hey, I happen to know this is your birthday anniversary today. Happy anniversary to you.
Thank you.
I would like to say the same. Happy birthday anniversary to you. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show. The number to call in is 515-605-9861. That's 515-609-861. We're on Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time, 12 to 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And it's a wonderful experience to have good people coming on here, being able to speak about what's going on and how we can come up with solutions about some of the issues we face, not only in the neighborhoods we live, not only in the city or state we stay, but in the world. And so with that being said, the phone line is open. Call in and be a part of the discussion this morning. And so, Ms. Beverly, you came with a lot of insight, and I appreciate just that, you coming in and being able to put something on the table so everybody can eat from. And the words and the wise words that you gave were very well taken from myself, and I'm hoping that all the listeners that are listening worldwide be able to call in and be able to go ahead and give some input of what they heard from you. With that being said, Marvell, I'm out and about, so I'm gonna leave this to you, and I'll just watch the phone line. Peace and blessings.
Okay. Right on. So, Mark, that's our first lady caller. I think that's our first lady caller. So, what did you gather from what her perspective is about foundation?
It's all good. It's basically what we've all been seeing. She just said it in a more plainer way. And that's why we need women input, because they bring a certain touch, a certain glow to things, you know, help others to see. Because I've noticed that just like as a kid, my father could say something, but when my mother say something, she say it in a different way to make you want to do it. You know, they bring there's certain love into the picture. Because like I say, it's one big love wall. See, and that's the thing, so many of us want to see change, but so many of us don't want to do a darn thing to make change happen. And change starts with us. We got to start with that man in the mirror. What can I do today to make a difference? You know, and we can't sit here and ponder on our thoughts and our aspirations too long, because it'll grow stale and it'll go to waste. It'll fall somewhere in the back of our mind, never to be thought again until somebody else do it and they say, oh, I had that idea. Yeah, you had that idea. That's what I was saying earlier. Let's do things so there'll be no regrets. Put our best foot forward, because we can make a difference. Each one of us can make a difference if we try to make a difference. See, it all starts from a child. We've got to get out there and do it. You know, it's time to stop talking about it and be about it. And I'm making every effort every day. Like I said, I'm not taking one second on this planet for granted, because tomorrow is not promised. So we got to do what we can this moment. We can't let this moment pass us by, because we may not have this same opportunity to reach these young folk tomorrow. Because things are so bad, man. I was looking on Facebook today, and I think I posted it to you, where these little kids, looked like toddlers, maybe couldn't have been no older than 3, out here cussing at the police, pushing them and stuff. And I just said, their future is to be in cuffs, but the parents need to be handcuffed right now. And that's the whole thing. So we got to try to reach these kids, but first we got to reach these parents, because these parents don't want their kids into nothing like that. They want their kids to be dope dealers, be ballers. They want them to chase the bag. Back to you, my brother.
Wow, I'm gonna profile that and say that there are some parents who seem to follow that, but I'm not gonna put the whole pie in the parenthood as wanting that to happen. But it just certainly does seem as though that's a permissiveness that exists because of the chase for materialism and appearances seems to override and overwhelm the want for anything spiritual in our youth in that society that we're looking at regularly. I was thinking that once again, I want to appeal to in our audience those who are either retired professionals or retired and have the time and the wherewithal to call in and let's discuss how we can work together, and you can utilize your time to help our cultural and our community situation. You know, a lot of times time is a fact. For instance, when we have a morning show, a lot of people are at work, right? So until we make a time adjustment where we can reach a broader audience, we're probably appealing to people who are at home or people who work from home or people who are retired. And so to my appeal to those people who have that time and hopefully the willingness, let's get together. Let's talk about what it is on a small scale that you can do to contribute toward it, and let your efforts grow and let your vision grow about how to continue to pour in as we get together. But let's get started. Let's get started feeling around to find out what it is that Tribution can do to help the challenges that we're having. So that's my commercial.
And so we got Brother Joe. I'm going to let him check in, and then I'm going to go to station identification, and then we'll get right back to the discussion. Brother Joe, how are you?
This morning, everything seems to be okay. Gosh,
right
I'll
on,
wait till
Joe.
We come back. wait till we come back on the other side. Thank you.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67. Our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67, every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together.
Yes, sir. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm going to open back the phone lines. I'm still out getting things together, so y'all bear with me. I am mobile today, not at my computer, and I'm so glad that Blog Talk let us be mobile. With that being said, Marvell, Brother Joe is in the queue, and I'm going to leave all the phone lines open so far.
Okay. Now, remember, folks, if you have some background, anything in sounds in the background, please mute so that our broadcast is clean, so that everyone have an opportunity to hear everything that you have to say. What's up, Joe?
Not too much. About the same thing. Also, I'm always glad that I'm able to see today. I know that there's an issue that has been I've been burning at the stake to get at, and so I'd like to be able to at least bring that to the table at some point. But today everything seems to be okay.
So what's wrong with now, Joe? Bring
All
it
right.
now.
Police reform. A police accountability. Ever since the deputy sheriff pulled the gun and held the gun on the 8-year-old here in Sacramento, downtown Sacramento, it has really twisted my cap, to say to speak. And black men, or men of color, because the young man that came to the healing circle made comment that both the black and brown men in Sacramento are obviously being accosted, obviously being beaten up, shot, and whatnot by deputy sheriffs with no accountability. The 8-year-old, that is a baby, but yet the fact that that child is of color doesn't matter. And what really burns me up is the fact that I was in law enforcement for 30 years, and I am aware, I am definitely aware of the two-sided, two-faced, and the issues that really separate us when it comes to the citizens of an area, the entire issue. There has to be some sort of correctiveness, but it's going to take us to stand up and really make a statement. Everybody's afraid of the police. They don't need to be. They don't have to be. But folks have to be educated to how to deal with police. I haven't been accosted here in the Sacramento area, but and I say accosted, and I'm not being nasty with that, but I'm just saying I've not been stopped. I do have certain IDs and whatnot, but that's not the issue. The issue is there are communities such as ours who are not obviously treated fair.
Well, Joe, excuse me. You know, there are core issues. And one of the core issues that I've observed about police generally is that they are trained and equipped to do harm. Right? They're not trained initially to go out and do harm, not like that's the goal, but they are groomed and prepared to do harm, and they're strapped and geared up with the equipment to do harm, and they practice doing harm, right? They go to the firing range, and they're trying to shoot to kill, and they're taught to shoot to kill. And I guess the core issue to me is, just like anything else, whatever you practice becomes easier for you to do. And if the practice is subduing and doing harm by a group of people, then the only likely victim would be someone that you think less of or that have been marketed to you as being a criminal or has criminal tendency. And that is the black and brown community, because we're painted in that lens commonly by the media. So there's a whole bunch of things that seem to allow this group of people to justifiably cause harm to another group of people, and we have an apprehension and a fear for them, because when they in our presence, they are overly equipped and seemingly prepared to use their equipment. And that's one of the chasms that I think that we would do well to point out to them, is that you're practiced at hurting people. So if you're practiced at hurting people, if you're practiced at accosting and arresting and subduing people, and that's your mindset, then you need somebody to fit your mindset and to be on the other end of your training. Because these people, they walk around with 30 pounds of equipment on them. Now, don't you think they want to, I've got 30 pounds of equipment I ain't using. I've got to put some work in on this. 30 pounds of equipment. So that's how I look at it, the core issue. And then also, I think there's also, I want to be diplomatic about it, but it seems to be sort of like a bloodlust that's in the undercurrent as well. The willingness to cause harm and all I need is justification. So it's a big picture that we're looking at. And the reason why we're looking at the picture, we are the end result victims of this practice and this behavior. That's how I see it.
I have to echo exactly the practice of the behavior. It is our people who do the suffering. In contrast, when that young man was killed up here by a deputy sheriff in grandmother's backyard, claiming that he had a gun and it was a cell phone. Yes, that I was in San Francisco. I had not retired, but those are the types of things that twist my cap, turn my stomach the whole bit. Because as the gentleman said yesterday on the podcast, let's go get it. Cops and our counterparts and are definitely afraid of us. Definitely afraid of us. And they are the ones that have the opportunity to use that 30 pounds of equipment. We come with bare hands. As soon as I get a right to carry, I get questioned every step of the day. My counterpart is perfectly okay for them to walk around open carry. As soon as I legally walk around open carry, I've got that criminal aspect associated with my open carry, and I'm a law-abiding citizen. But again, it's what you just said about having the bigger picture. The assumption is that nobody's going to stand up to the police because of, quote unquote, that 30 pounds of equipment. That's where they're wrong. As I've been saying, and we say all the time, it's come time, regardless of guns, it's come time to stand up and not just make a statement, but do something about it.
I want to welcome
Brother Larry. Larry, go ahead and introduce yourself to the world, and then we'll get back to the discussion.
I'm here. I had to unmute myself. But my name is Larry Jones. I'm welcome to be here. Thankful. I'm sorry I'm late, but I enjoy being with Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence, and hoping that more people continue to bless the channel and learn a little bit more.
I see.
And so we got some dry air, and so I don't want the air to be dry.
It ain't gonna be dry, my brother, because I agree with everything that's being said. As always, we need to start policing our own. See, we can no longer be afraid of what's going on in our communities, because as long as we be afraid, we're not gonna be involved. Like I said, we'll go home and shut our doors out of fear, you know, and fear should be something that's unheard of. We should not fear these young folk, these police and whatnot. If we get out here and take care of our own, start talking to them, or you don't even have to talk to them, just get out there and do what you do. They will have to move. They will not stand there because they don't want to be seen. They're scared of being talked about or somebody calling the police on them. But it's just, we got to be visible. That's the number one thing. We got to be visible. Like I said, those that believe in Christ and sing that song, "This Little Light of Mine," your light should be big now. Get out there and let your light shine. Where's the fear? I mean, you know, where's you living? Where we got to live. So you can't live in fear. So we got to get out there and let our big light shine. Just get out there. You ain't got to talk to them, but be visible. We can get out there and talk amongst each other, just like they stand on them corners or in them nooks and crannies and want to drink and sell. If we get out there and start talking about positive things, negativity is going to leave. I've never seen darkness and light. Never seen it. Now, if somebody's seen it, please let me know. I was done. But I'm going to regress on that.
One of the things
go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, one of the things that I learned and was trained and went through while I was in the Bay Area, matter of fact, San Francisco, to be exact, is that, again, the communities began to band together. And when that element raised its head, but as Mark was saying a minute ago about getting out there,
And that's the only way to combat some of this is by those that have the ability to be out there, those that have conversations for the folk to be out there, to be visible, as Brother Marcus just got through saying. It does hamper because of fear does hamper that type of movement. But as you were talking, I was just thinking of an incident that happened in San Francisco to me, and here I'm fully dressed, and yet the individual thought that it was Halloween or a costume until he got to my IDs, and when he got to my IDs, he was belligerent and whatnot, and then when he realized that I was an officer too, I could have been his. It really turned my aspect as far as an officer at that time. When the other officer found out that I was a legitimate straight officer from San Francisco, jumped in his cruiser and was gone. But in my presence, I was an MF and various other negative statements until he realized that he was talking to someone from the same damn station house. Just that he didn't know. We saw each other a couple of weeks later, and I let him know, he made a mistake. But see, I stood up at that moment and said, we dispense with this. But again, we go through that every day. Every day we go through that with individuals. Who are licensed both with that 30 pounds of equipment. So it's something that needs to be highly addressed because they don't accost. Cops don't accost any other community but ours. And I was just sitting here thinking about the word overseer. This is who they are. Mm. This is who I was until I came to my senses. I was the veteran from Vietnam, and I in the law and order myself until I realized that I was on the wrong side of history. And I got away from it as quickly as I could. I want to help somebody else understand. In San Francisco, we started, one of the things that several officers did start was street law. We didn't get lawyers, but we had individual officers and a few other community individuals go to the classroom once again and started discussing street law, how to walk the streets, ride the streets, and know the law. And that helped a lot. A lot of the kids that I dealt with in the juvenile system began to gravitate to that particular piece of knowledge. The communities began to gravitate to that particular piece of knowledge. Now, here in the Sacramento area, nobody wants to do that. But I'll be the first to tell you that, yeah, I'm willing to step forward and start discussing street law, how to actually live with police who are basically accosting the black community and the brown communities.
I've actually seen footage about how people who know the law really kind of brief the police about the law because the police generally don't know the law. They know their doctrine. They know their assignment. But as far as the written law, I've seen people share what they're lawfully entitled to get as the information they're entitled to get from a person that they stopped, and I've heard people recite it to them, give them the statute, and the police have to go back to their cruiser and look it up. So and then they have air in their jaws because you're correcting them instead of the other way around. However, I think that once we get that information, Joe, that you have, and that's just if you're willing to start that, that's what we are asking for people who have some skill or some knowledge about something and they have the willingness and the time to share that so that we can start putting these things in the atmosphere to help our community understand how to dissuade these people from just bullying their way into our community, overcalling and sort of like, as you said, accosting and arresting us. And then they do the research and find out, oh, okay, well, I'll let you go. I checked on it and I let you go. But that's after I've been abused. So
true.
If we can do
very
something
true.
About that, if we can do something about that and put that in the atmosphere, I think that'll help build a momentum of the type of consciousness that will urge them to not be so brazen when they approach us in our community. Remember that. That's there. Like you said overseeing, they're overseeing our community, and they're doing it in a bullish manner. So if we can do anything to stop that or to slow that down, I think that we're on the right road. What you say?
May I interject here? I've heard two things about the fishing, the getting the young people to gather to fish. Fishing is a mindset, number one. Fishing teaches patience, number two. Then I heard about the street law. And the biggest, what I really, really appreciate about the street law, once again, you're talking about the foundation being a mindset. Now, we hear voices. All of us hear voices. The thing is, which voice do we listen to? I had a former professor who wrote an article up here that I took to my classroom and read it to, especially the young men. In this article, John P. Wilson is the one who wrote it, and he said that the police officers, the white police officers, are afraid of black men, young black men, because they, young black men, appear bigger in stature and older than they are. I told those young men what he was giving them was their passport to kill and abuse black men. But in many cases, I might have the weapon, but you give me my ammunition. And if you give me my ammunition, believe I have a desire to blow your brains out of your head. However, I can't do it without ammunition. Then on the other side, the reason I'm talking about a mindset, and someone mentioned going in the schools. Well, that's where you can literally arrest and capture the minds, the attention of the young people who are the ones going out here and being killed in many cases. If you have young people who are in these schools, who are being taught by white people, whatever, and these people go home and tell husbands, aunts, uncles, nieces, and nephews about this other group of people who have no regard for themselves, their parents, and for us by law, though I can't do anything with them. All I have to do is write them up and send them to the office. Well, that sends out another whole group of people who see these people, my so-and-so works at this school, and these kids cuss people out, and they cuss. And right there is where we get the ammunition to do something. Mm. And on top of that, we as a people have the unmitigated gall to kill one another. Mm. As if our lives don't matter to us. And I'm here to say, who have you ever known that said, I'm from a family of 15 people, and you can jump my brothers and sisters anytime you want to, or they don't show up to protect their sibling, they're going to get beat up. Conversely, if you have siblings that say, touch my sister, and you're going to have to deal with this whole daggum community, those people are more than likely not going to be victims of abuse by not just that person, but anybody, because the word will get around. Well, if we're the ones who say, I'm killing you because you mean bugged me, you looked at me, and you have these people who read papers, who have family members who deal with us on a very regular basis, and they pass the word, there will not be regard for a whole group of people who look a certain way. Indians, people from another culture. One of them told me in a one-on-one conversation that when they come to Cleveland, they are housed at Case Western Reserve University and told what to look for in black people to hold their purses that we rob. Oh, she told me they were taught profanity because they don't know the words that are used in our community. So they taught those people who were coming over here to teach the words and their meaning. So now they know that they just got cussed out. So I'm saying we're living in a day. We had come to a point in this country where we were regarded as a force of people. We really were. We were seen as mentally strong, physically strong, emotionally strong. We were there. And then all of a sudden, first of all, we stopped. We had no, the voices. What were the voices? Martin Luther King Jr. was a preacher. Malcolm X was a teacher, a minister. We had these voices who talked about somebody greater than ourselves. So this was permeated all throughout the communities, talk about the communities, and everywhere else, and it was respected. And then all of a sudden, we got a group of people who came in talking about killing the police, who talked about for the women, black women, what you can do for me, you can suck, you can, and I'm going to lick, and I'm going. And so now, let's talk about what voices do you hear? What voice are you listening to? So the programs to go in the school, if the legislators, because, you know, separate church from state, if these legislatures, you find a way to get to them and have in these daggum courtrooms, anybody that appears for these offenses must attend these programs and trust and believe those children who you arrest mentally will go even back to their parents and just share information, whether it changes the parent or not. But the children would have learned and heard another voice. You cannot expect them bitter, sweet water to come out of a bitter fountain. It's not going to happen. It's an impossibility. So until we, you talk about what to do, until we start allowing our children, getting them to hear voices. I'm going to say this, which I might go to jail, but it's okay. When I taught school, yeah, they heard a voice. It was my voice. And what you and I must realize, I don't care what it looks like, these people, if the oldest is 18, 8 years ago, that person was only 10 years old. That person, if the person is 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, how dare we as adults believe they know the law when we don't teach the law? When I came up, we had to know the Ten Commandments. Every single law on those books originates from thou shalt not steal, kill, commit adultery. All of these covet, all of these laws, we had to learn as children. And then on the other side, but blessed is the pure in heart. Blessed are the meek. See, what voices are they hearing? Are we too wrapped up in our daggum selves to even take time to stop in our own households and teach you the law? You might not go out there and do things, but there you have a mindset still. So all I want to say is I pray for programs where the children, the officers, can go into the room. And you know what else teach them? Teach them vocabulary. When people know better, they do. Well, they don't want to learn. Well, what are you teaching them? They will learn. Believe you me, they're interested in stuff. But they just are bombarded with the wrong stuff. Forgive me for taking up too much time. Maybe. Thank you.
Let me back her up in this respect. While the sister was talking, I was thinking about the progress that was made in the San Francisco area. Now, I'm going to pick one of the neighborhoods everybody's heard about, and that's Hunters Point. Hunters Point was notorious for its criminal action. Regardless of what type of action, it was notorious. 2.5 years prior, we began, a group of men began to talk to the gang members and children, just as the sister was saying. Within 180 days, certain things started to turn around because the language that was being taught to the youngsters was something that they could actually put in their hip pocket and use as far as knowledge. On the sidewalk, on the streets, certain things started to turn around. There were certain superiors, and I'll just use that in the law enforcement aspect, who did not want this language out there. Matter of fact, I'll say this. I had a supervisor at my job, which was Juvenile Probation San Francisco, ask me, what are you trying to do, Joe? What are you trying to make of lawyers? That pissed me off. That pissed me off for this man to say to me, another officer, but my superior, that I'm trying to educate my culture to the ways and means of how to navigate police action and police contact with the public. We kept going. Certain things, again, started to take place. Other community-based organizations got wind of it and began to join us in the city. Hunters Point did turn itself around, it didn't last a year. It lasted a year, the truce, the whole bit. But the one thing that was positive, the youngsters began to pick up certain ideas, began to utilize certain ideas, began to step off from the same old page onto a new page when it comes to dealing with police contact. And the police themselves, they began to act a bit different because the youngster had knowledge. The community had knowledge. And the sister's correct. What we used to do, times have changed. So what are we going to do now? What we used to, every man on this radio and people that are listening to us know that our history has been one of constant flux, but it's because we refused to take up that mantle and step forward. Is it dangerous? Is it beneficial? Of course it's beneficial because, again, it is the youth. I was listening to the sister when she mentioned black women. We all remember that cops used to beat up on you and I, men. Now they're beating up on women. It's not a YouTube concept where a white cop is beating up a middle-aged black woman for no reason, roughing her up, taking her to the ground, knees on the back and the neck. The authorities, the politicians, once again, All they do is smile and pat individuals on the back and act, there's nothing. I've made several attempts to contact both the chief here in Sacramento and the Office of Accountability. The only person that I've spoken to is a machine. And I'm now, I've made 8 calls starting at 9 in the morning until about 2 in the afternoon. And all I've got is an answering machine and no return phone call, none. That's because they don't think that we matter. Do we matter? If we matter, once again, it just takes men, women willing to step forward. That shows a lot.
So, Joe, this is Wungone. And, Joe, this is what I know, man. We are our own medicine. Our people are our own medicine. We can heal from one another. We just need to step in that direction. The other thing,
that's right.
Forgive the background of this airplane going by. I'm by the airport. But the other thing is that if we connect together, everybody's not going to connect on the same issues or the same topics. But if we get enough of us to connect, to speak into other people's lives and show them the true meaning of love, because love is where everything starts, through God, right? And so if we were to reach out and stop, belittling one another. I had some people, man, that really were good people, but because they didn't dress a certain way, people didn't hear what they had to say. I done had other people that didn't have nothing to say good, dressed real well, and they opened the door for them and then got bamboozled, right? And so what I'm saying and all that I'm saying is that if we can come together and be as one in love, or as many as we can in love, I think the dynamic of life for us would change, because we are our own medicine. We can police, like Mark said, we can police our own. There's plenty of organizations that's not scared to go to the front line, and they're not getting lit there, though. You know, they got to push through all this behavior, negative behavior, negative spirits, negative, 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 before they can even put their positive out. And so my cry to the American people, the people that are listening, is that we must change some of our ways. We can't speak one way and act another way. We can't, because we in the public eye, we say we're going to do this, but then as soon as the door is shut, our integrity tells different. You're going another way than what you spoke. And so what I mean and what I say is that we must heal as one. And the way you heal is just talking to your brother and sister right where they at and helping them get past the stumbling blocks in their lives, even if it costs you a dollar. If you got a dollar to help somebody to change their ways, that's what God gave you them dollars for. He didn't give them for you to go sit in the bank, because when you leave, that money doesn't go with you. And I'm just saying that, and I'm going to go because there's a lot of noise in the background.
I like to say to that about our own medicine. What I also notice, I live in, for those of you who don't know, Cleveland, Ohio. And on my street, I live in the Glenville community. And where I live, there are people, the mothers, the cussing the kids out, that sort of thing. But I must say, I will not leave my community because, one, I love it, and two, there are no fights anywhere around. Our street is quiet. The children cannot call me by my first name. And I make sure they understand that, because if a child, I feel, is allowed to call an adult by the first name, that adult is called just what they call their friends the same age. I must make the distinction. My job, my purpose, my role in your life is to protect you, educate you, and instruct you. While walking by my house, hey, you, hi, wait, come here, come here. What's your name? Edgar. Hi, Edgar. What school do you attend? I go to Michael R. White. Oh, okay, Michael R. White. Do you like it? Not really. Listen, I'm going to. And then whatever it is in your head and in your heart to school that person right then, right there. Look at the child's face. Compliment the child on something about him or herself. Hear the child's voice. What's your favorite? And nothing. What's your favorite subject? I don't know. Okay. Okay, you don't know. Well, in time, you will know. Just a conversation. The next time the child walks by, hi, Miss B. You think I forgot your name. Your name is Edgar. Hi, Edgar. Edgar, have a good day. Do your best. That's all anybody can expect of you. That's my role on this street in my community. I don't have young people outside my windows cursing and hollering all night. And that's only because of the position I take on this corner, and my neighbors are the same. Do we hear gunshots all night? Absolutely. I'm saying right here, a safe place for you to just stop, to breathe. Before I wave and say prayer for you and God bless you, and these young people will turn around and say, God bless you too. That's enough for me. And if we but just, that's what our elders used to do with us. Come here, come here. How are you? Come here, come here. What's up? That's what we used to do. I am not afraid of them because I don't want them afraid of me. And people sense apprehension. These young people sense fear. I'm sure you've heard people say, see, when a kid doesn't like you, there's something about that person because kids can see. Well, they really can. So I just encourage us to just stay in the grocery stores, on the street, wherever, at stoplights. I'll roll down my window and say, you better have a good day. If I see them with backpack, and I know they're coming from school or something like that, that's what I do. They might, they believe, hey, she must be crazy. I bet 9 times out of 10, that child will play that back at some, that this lady, even if they tell a friend. I was at the bus stop, and this lady leaned over and said, have a good day, you better. We must be vocal. We're vocal about so many other things. Let's be vocal about those things that matter to young people, which in all cases is that somebody really, really thinks I'm all right. And I think when we do that, we'll be all right. We'll get better. But we have to start now. Thank you.
Charisma. That's the one word that kept on filtering through what that presentation was about, is personal spiritual charisma. And a lot of our adult population are not using their charisma. Maybe they're not in touch with it. The spiritual charisma, when you have a feeling, see, we keep on asking people to pour in so that we can find our way to work together. However, if their charisma, the light of charisma, is something that they're not either aware of or willing to tap into, then we have a lot of listeners and not a lot of participants. That personal charisma is what I felt and what I've known about the young lady that just called in, and that's what I know about the people that are on this right now, is they have this aura and this energy of charisma, and they're willing to engage that for the cause of opening up new avenues for us as a people to learn how to share with each other. We promote that. We carry that message so that people can feel comfortable emulating the same process, asking questions, engaging, showing interest, and showing love through the smile we have on our face, or something we say that's stimulating or clever, or something that we say that's humorous. We have to use all of our tools to make it comfortable for us to relate to each other. And that's what I gathered from what the young lady was saying, is that if we're not doing that, then we're not setting the groundwork for there to be a comeback. See, when you meet somebody originally and you engage, I'm thinking about, well, what would I say, or how would I get them to want to speak to me again? What would I do to make them remember that we had this conversation? What would I do to get them to feel what I feel about them to feel about me? What do I do? And that's what I heard, is the charisma. So the charismatic people that we are, let's take the darkness off of that. Let's peel back whatever the barrier is for that, and let's let our charisma and that light shine. What y'all say?
Well, like I said, you know, I agree with you. It's all about each one, reach one, and teach one. See, we got to get out there, and we have to use the gifts that we possess. Every man is an individual, as I say all the time. We're all individuals, and we have to utilize our individuality to reach those. We're not going to reach all of them. That's why it's important for all of us to get out here, because the ones I don't reach, you'll reach. See, I can talk to a man or a child or a woman, and they may hear it from me and they may not. But if they talk to you, they'll understand it. They'll receive it. And I've seen that so much in my walk in this life. Because I'm not one that sits still all the time. I'm out here talking to people, and I minister to people because I want to see everybody smile. You know, it's bad enough that we walk around with frowns on our face for no apparent reason. And a lot of those reasons that we walk around with frowns on our face are we're less apt to want to reach out to someone. It's because of what we hear on the news, what we hear on these videos, what we listen to, the music we listen to.
Yeah.
All these things changes us. So we have to wake up with the attitude of gratitude. First by giving thanks to God. Then we go out and give thanks to everybody else. And it's a blessing to see you, you know, because it's good to be seen. And so, like the lady was saying, we have to get out there and greet these young folk. We got to say a kind word to them, because 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get no rough backlash from a kind word. Just a simple, I love you. Or you look nice today. You know, even if they don't look the way that you want them to look, it'll make them more apt to check themselves when they come before you again. So we have to put our best foot forward, and we have to shine. I mean, it's a simple process. We just got to get out there and get started, because nothing happens overnight, but as you get out there and go through the process of being your best, things will begin to change for you. And as things change for you, things will begin to change for the people around you. Like I said, I've never seen darkness when light come on. When you cut that light on, where do darkness go? We don't know, and we don't care. All we know is we got light. And that's what these young folk, these people need. They need to see the light. So we have to be that light that they see. And I digress.
I'd like to be able, as I've said time and time again, I'd like to be able to start the particular type of language that would lead knowledge of citizenship, knowledge of ethics, knowledge of self. I also had the pleasure of being trained by FOI, which is Fruit of Islam. Now, when Islam came about, a lot of people backed up because of fear and a big, quote-unquote, unknown. but one of the tenets of the religion was being clear, concise, and clean. As the sister was speaking, one of the other teachings is that you do acknowledge a sister or a brother. You do acknowledge efforts going forward. You do acknowledge that. And we, as a people, we've gotten away from all of that. We used to wait for Sunday. Oh, you look nice. Man, that's a good suit.
Yeah.
Where you get that tie? But that was only on Sundays. And we don't even do that now. Because many of us don't go to church. Because that question was asked yesterday. So where do we? Once again, I commend both One Gone and Brother Marvell for going again in that classroom. Because in that classroom is where learning and teaching and knowledge takes place. That is the best avenue. Out here in the community, there were Brother Marvell, Brother Tim, and myself went to one of the families that called a few days ago. One of the individuals who lives at that complex shouted down to the three of us. Her statement was, we need to come back and talk to the youngsters that are also running around in that complex. I asked Brother Tim, I said, Tim, did you hear what she just said? He said, yeah. And then that's when he gave me a little bit more knowledge that he used to go into that complex and go get kids. And that, and man, look, fellas, look, people, look, if we don't start taking the, quote, initiative to go into the lines, then we're not going to be able to do anything but keep talking to each other. I'm willing to help start or facilitate that type of class because, again, that type of language about street law, it's not law per se, law in the technical sense, but it does give the individual an opportunity to open up, to talk about either their experience or what they see and how to apply what's correct in a response to the law that's being handed out in this country, in the state, in the city. It's an eye-opener, and it's something that young people can gravitate to because, again, they're going to be out running the street, basically, and they're going to come in contact. And how do they handle it? How do they address the individual? How do they address everything? I'll say this. I spoke, several months ago about carrying your camera, your phone and your camera. One man told me, oh, no, if I pull my camera out, they're going to shoot me. No. As long as you've got your camera rolling at the time of the contact, no. No, and again, so there are certain things that can be said, can be done right now that would help.
Suggestion. For those who do go in classrooms, if time permits, what I would maybe offer as a suggestion is a roll of toilet paper. When you initially go into the classroom, a roll of toilet paper. And with this toilet paper, you hold your fingers in the roll so that they can pull. So you model it. I would take off sheets of toilet paper, and I would go around to each one and allow them to pull it. They have to take about five, and they can take no more than, let's say, 10 to the next person all the way around. I come back, and I say, this is a toilet paper game. For each sheet that you have taken, you will tell us something about yourself, anything you want to know. I am the only one who can ask questions. So I take it off. Your name doesn't count. However, you have to say your name. So my name is Beverly, well, for them, Mrs. Beard Little. I sing in the choir. I'm married, and I'm taking a sheet each time. I have a dog. I don't have any children or nieces and nephews. My father was a pimp. I have one brother. Go around the next person. My name is so-and-so. I got 10 brothers and sisters. Wow. Let me just ask you, 10 brothers, do all of them, you all live in the same household? No, my daddy got 5 and my mama got 4. And I said, okay, well, where do you fit in the household? Are you the oldest? Are you the youngest? I'm the middle child. Wow. Okay. The middle child. Did you like being the middle child? Would you have rather? So now what happens? They all go around. So now let me just ask you, I don't know where one might say, I don't know where my daddy is. I ain't never met my daddy. Wow. But let me just ask you a question. Would you have liked to, I'm not saying your father, but would you have liked to have a father and he came home and said, hey, dude, put on your play clothes. Let's go outside and let's throw some football. Would you have thought that was fun? Would you have liked that? Yeah, man. And one young man got up crying and left the room. Now, what that exercise does for me, it allows every child in that classroom to feel the fact that each other has struggles, pains. I have never in 19 years had a fight in my classroom. The questions I ask, I need the other children to hear. It hurts. So then when it hurts, they're going to identify with somebody else's pain in that classroom, and what they know is what pain feels like. Then I make sure they understand what we never, ever do. If something is funny, we laugh. Nothing about another individual, the way he or she looks, is ever funny. We don't laugh. If I hear or I get wind of a child that talked about the way someone looked, I would say, come here, gave them the chalk, come to the board. I want you to draw a picture of someone you wouldn't laugh at. Now, the eyes, nose, ears, mouth cannot, just the head, cannot be in the same place they are currently, because that's not your idea. So you have to make the ideal person that would not appear funny. So they would start drawing. No, the nose is already there. You have to find another place for the nose. The nose is up on the forehead. Wow. So then you would smell before they would get so frustrated because they realize they can't do it. So what I try to do is bring out, before we start any class, first, I need you to see the humanity in every, I would say, which one is your favorite sibling? My oldest brother. Why? Because I can go to him and talk to him. Now, somebody in the room is saying, my oldest sister, my oldest brother, the middle, I don't like being the middle child because I have to do everything. Someone else knows the feeling of the responsibility of having to take care of everything. To cook, well, do you like to cook? Nah, but I got to cook. My mama say somebody else is feeling that. So what we all end up doing is, first and foremost, healing each other. I don't have time.
I say. And we have something like that, not as strongly as yours is, because we have a healing circle for the youth. And we have the kids, when we first start off, we do what we call run the wheel. And they all have to stand up and say their name and how their day was. And if their day was bad, we have them talk about it. And if they need some input, we'll give them input. But we allow these kids to talk. We allow them to get their feelings out. And we've learned so much just by allowing the kids to talk, because a lot of times we would just get in there and talk to the kids and talk at them and tell them what we want to see and, you know, what they need. But when we start letting these kids talk, it opened up a whole new forum for us. And it allowed a lot of us adults to step back and just be quiet and listen, because they're going through it now. We went through some things, but they're going through it now, and it's a lot different than what we went through. And we had a young man stand up and say that, well, y'all talking about the old days, but these days is different now for us. And it is different because it costs so much for a kid to enjoy life. A parent just can't take his kid out somewhere with $100 and just have a good time. You need about $500 or $600.
Yeah.
And for one thing, it costs too much to park if you can find a park. You know, so if we have to, like I said, we need to digress on a lot of things. We talk about building Black Wall Street, but the prices are the same as everything else. We need to lower our prices to communities so that the people in our communities can feel like they can achieve something here. They can get a break. See, we don't even give our own a break. We're no better than the rest of them out there. We build a store, we start a business or whatever, and we charge almost more than what our counterparts charge, what the oppressor charges. So how can they feel good about patronizing our own when it's no better? So like I said, we got to think about ourselves. We got to help ourselves. And can't nobody help us but us. Because if we don't, we're still in that downward spiral. So we got to stop. And I appreciate everything you said, because some of the things you said, we need to implement it. And I can see a brighter future. I really can. After listening to you, ma'am, I see a brighter future. What says the brethren?
Oh, no doubt. There's no doubt that if and when we start acknowledging and recognizing that inner source of each other, and not paying attention to presentation, the external or the visual presentation, but look for the spirit that is there. I say this often, if not every time, is that there shouldn't be a hard sell for us to agree that there is a quality and a spirit in our people that is unsurpassed and that is so capable of excellence. Just look around. Whatever we get involved in, we excel in, whatever it is.
Yes.
Whatever it is. So it shouldn't be a hard sell to look at someone that's like you and be able to see beyond the physical presentation and be able to know that there's something there that is of high quality and high esteem. And if it's not being portrayed, then our responsibility then is to alert them that is not, and urge them to practice it. It is he who knows not and knows not that he knows not that's a fool. It is he who knows not and knows that he knows not that's the child. And that he who knows not, who knows and knows not that he knows, is asleep. But it is he who knows and knows he knows is wise. So our wisdom has to alert them to either practicing what they already know about themselves or being aware of what they have that they don't know about themselves. But to denounce and to discredit and to look down, be superior over because they don't have it, or be create envy with them because we have it and they don't, is the way division is being perpetuated in our people that I've observed. So we have the responsibility of heightening that inner force and the inner spirit that exists, that we know for a fact is there. We know it's there because we see it commonly demonstrated. That's our job.
Yeah.
Correct. We have to let them know that it's okay to be different. That's the main thing. Let them know it's okay to be different. Everybody's not the same. We're all individuals. So we have to allow our individuality to show. That's where we shine at. That's where we are our best. That's where we can make a difference by being that individual that God has created.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to tell you, this is a good show. I'm loving this. I'm loving it. I'm loving it, man. It's the best one yet.
Yeah, and they're going to get better.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Also, in I don't know what's legal in the classrooms out there, high school is where I taught, and I would go to the bank and get $51 bills. And my whole premise for these children were, you must think, I will share information with you, you must think. Give me something reasonable. So when they would give me responses that I know they have thought about, I would give them a dollar and say, here, go get a water, whatever it is you do, because I pay. And in the real world, you get paid for what you know. Nobody will pay you for what you do not know.
Come on.
I prompted them to always, because that $1, and if I have one, a dollar must be a little dear. Go down to the cafeteria, order some home fries. Without that dollar I just gave her, and see if the person will get you the home fries. That's all I'm asking you to do. So they began to value the $1 that they worked for by just using their minds. Again, these people just got here. And if we, I turned 69 today, but if we
had
been here, thank you, tis a blessing, I've been kept. If we at 69 are taken aback at some stuff that happens that we see in this world that's ever changing, how can we possibly scorn, ridicule, set expectations so high? We have recordings that play the reason we are as cool as we are now, because we've done some things and we've repeated some behaviors and they ended up with the same result. So what we did is we understood, okay, that's not going to work. Okay, this one is screaming and hollering. I'm not going to argue with it because I've argued, I have fought, I have done, and not, okay, go ahead. Go ahead, argue, because the tape plays and says arguing back doesn't work. So now I don't do. They don't have tapes to play yet. They've not had the experiences to build on to where someone says something to them and you just understand, or go to Proverbs and says a wise man will be quiet and a fool will keep running off. See, they don't understand. That they have not had that training, the experience yet. So I would ask us to please remember, if there's anything in your life, the news, when you watch the news, when you hear something, if something happens in your home, if someone does something, says something, behaves a certain way to you, and it causes you to say, what? Within, if you don't utter it, I want you to please think about these people who, when we meet them, we don't meet them at 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, 11, a year, 2, 3, 4. Now we're starting to meet them. An 8-year-old just got on this planet 8 years ago. How much is open are they exposed to on this planet that they don't have a recording to play about? And then we get upset and we say, didn't I tell you? I told you. How many times, honestly, did someone tell us did we actually do things that just tore us up? Did we stop then, or did we continue the behavior believing it would either get better, we would outthink it, or it would go away? Neither one of those three things happened. When we kept doing what we did, we kept getting what we got until we stopped doing what it is we were doing. We've got to understand they just got here. Someone 15 up in your face talking. They just got here 15 years ago. 10 years ago, this person, 5 years ago, this person was 10 years old. They have, remember, primary teaching agents at home. Somewhere, there's this initial teaching agent. Who is it? What's being taught? Are the children being told to carry a package over here somewhere, turn around and walk away? Don't say anything to anybody. Don't look at anybody in the face. If somebody says something to you, or they watch the parent handle a situation. My brother used to use profanity all the time. I'm talking about stomping, though he's cussing on the television. Brown's losing. He's cussing, and I mean real cussing. And he had three children of his wife. A little boy dropped something or something and said the S word. My brother told him, come here, as if he was about to whip him, and I told him, you had better not touch that boy. Now, you say the words my brother used, you never say, ever, come at all. Shoot, man, you never say that. What was he, where would he have gotten to say anything other than what he said? We have to stop. Take time out, even if it causes for self-reflection, and then be honest about ourselves and where we are now. I don't know about you because I don't know you all, but I've been through some things and I've done some things, and they were not mistakes. They were intentional after being told and taught another way that I chose to do. So let's do some self-reflection, and then let's be grateful that those who loved us, mothers, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, did not give up on us, because they really could have, really. And because they did not, even if it was just praying for us, they did it. And many of us might even say, you don't even get it. I really could have been one dead, sleeping in my grave.
Yes, so ma'am, we've got to do it.
And we've got to, in some cases, go the extra mile. One of the brothers said, you're not going to rescue everyone. That is a given. But my of training, and that's what we must be guilty of doing. And then I say, watch the fruit of our labor, because some fruit will come to fruition. Thank you.
Ashe, I want to say happy birthday again to all the Scorpios.
Thank you.
Because I myself just turned 62. Brother Marvell just left 69. He's 70 now. So this is a good show. This is a very good show.
Yeah.
And so, brothers and sisters, we have come to the end of the show. I'm going to open up the line and allow everyone to go ahead and say a few words of encouragement to the other listeners that may be listening, but don't want to talk. And maybe we can encourage them to call in and be a part of the discussion. What I do know, Ms. Beverly, you have a good heart. I can tell the way you're talking about the youth and how you found ways to reach back and touch them in ways that they will remember for the rest of their lives. They will remember, Ms. Beverly, pouring into my life when no one else probably is. And so I'm opening the phone lines, and happy birthday again. And we're going to start with Brother Larry. Brother Larry.
Good. How you doing? Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Yep. First of all, I want to say, what's her name, Miss Beverly? I want to say happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
And may you have many more blessings. But the subject today is always a good subject, and every day that we have is a good day. All we need to do is get more listeners and get more opinions and more comments.
I say. Mark.
I just want to say once again that it starts with us, you know, and we all are individuals, and we got to allow our individuality to shine. If we want better, we got to do better.
Brother Joe.
As the others have said, it is always a blessing to be able to speak and speak about something and have a direction from that speak. We need to continue with this conversation because this particular conversation will be able to at least put something forward that is constructive. And I, Ms. Beverly, again, as has been said, many blessings on today. May you have many others.
Thank you.
Let's see. There's a number from 510 beside Brother Joe. I don't know who this is, but would you like to say something to the world? We have another number from the 216. If you haven't spoken, now's your chance to say something, give some encouragement to the people of the world.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Sherilyn, and I am the little sister of Beverly. And I just want to wish her a happy birthday. And she has always poured into my life from the very moment that I've met her. She's always encouraged me to follow Christ, and whatever that I do for Christ will last. And I just want to encourage everyone that as well, what you do for Christ will last. And I just want to thank you for the show, and God bless everyone.
All right.
God bless you.
Sister Beverly.
I would just like to thank Marvell for the invitation. And I would like to leave with all the listeners. We often tell people, hang in there. I never use hang in there because hanging, you die. What I leave with you is hold on. Hold on requires strength. Holding on, it requires endurance. Hold on and fight as good, obedient soldiers. Peace be unto all of you.
I say, Brother Marvell. Brother Marvell.
No more, lost the words.
My mistake. I had muted because I had a little background noise. This model that we're creating, we've had some challenges. I mean, sometimes the broadcast doesn't work right. Sometimes the noise mutes out the message, but we're getting better and better and more efficient at getting this clear message out that we care, and we're demonstrating that, and that there's nothing bad or wrong with caring. It's just A lot of times, if we don't know how to express our care, we sit back. So now, with this model before us, we have an opportunity to feel around to see what is the best way to express how we care. However, the sitting back part, that'll be short-lived. We want you to call in. We want you to participate. We want you to pour in. We want you to share what you have to bring us closer to possible solutions to the challenges we experience in our communities and in our culture. But thank you for being present, and I appreciate that.
So I'll piggyback. It probably was me with all that backdrop, and, you know, I'll do better, I promise. I got a lot going on. As you guys know, my nonprofit was ambushed, and just trying to get myself back without having to react like I would in my old days, right? And so I've got to give myself a pat on my back for handling things smooth as I can. and those that know me know I'm talking from my heart, and I appreciate the Most High for delivering me from myself, right, and giving me direction to do the things we do in our cities, for our schools, for our churches, for our people, the whole community. We're here for you. And so what I do know about these gentlemen that's on this phone, they come with their heart, they lead with their heart, but they also lead in love, and that's God's love. It is the Wise Words for One Gone Show, and we'll be seeing you tomorrow. No, it's Saturday tomorrow. We was going to do a special Saturday show with our kids, but they're going to fish at the Hagen Park, where they'll be stocking 1,000 fish, and they're all trout. And so, Mark, you might as well get your pole out. They're going to stock the fish from up at the Hazel Hatchery. And so if you would like to go out and see them upload them fish, if you're in Sacramento, at 5 o'clock today, when the sun goes down, the fish hatchery will send a truck out, and then we'll put them fish in for the kids to fish them out tomorrow. Now, what I do know about tomorrow, it's going to rain in Sacramento. Real, real rain. Not no sprinkle like we've been getting. They got a storm coming through. So if you do decide to go out there, they still going to be out there fishing, because the fish bite when it rains or shines. Make sure you bring your babies out there. Have love in your heart when you get there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow out there, because we will not have a show tomorrow. We'll see you Monday. Peace.
Peace and blessings.